This, then, is what I command you. Love one another. If the world hates you, just remember that it has hated me first. If you belong to the world, then the world would love you as its own. But I chose you from this world, and you do not belong to it. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. Slaves are not greater than their master. If people persecuted me, they will persecute you too. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours too. But they will do all this to you because you are mine. For they do not know the one who sent me. They would not have been guilty of sin if I had not come and spoken to them. As it is, they no longer have any excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. They would not have been guilty of sin if I had not done among them the things that no one else ever did. As it is, they have seen what I did, and they hate both me and my Father. This, however, was bound to happen, so that what is written in their law may come true. They hated me for no reason at all.
Amen. Well, I welcome you back to our series entitled The Walk of God. I pray that for those of you that have been with us, you recognize that we are going to be finishing up John chapter 15. What you just saw was Christ's promising and preparing in an intimate and intense setting his disciples for the persecution that would come. Let me remind you that we are in the second half of the Gospel of John. In chapter 13, we left what was a public ministry and we came into a private ministry. And without walking you through all of where we've been, let me just remind you that in chapter 15, what we found was Jesus making it very clear that you and I, Christian, as well as the rest of the world, you can do absolutely nothing outside of his power and presence in you. He used the metaphor of the vine and the branches and said that unless you and I are in him and he is in us, we can accomplish absolutely nothing. And we even noted that where and when somebody would point to what appears to be good, without God, it's not good. It may be something that is used of God to accomplish something that is an improvement, but without the truth and the love and the power of God in it, the motivation of the heart will condemn the action. If you and I are engaged in doing good without God, it's all about us or a feeling that we generate or a perception that's created. Jesus made it very clear, two things. Without him, you and I can do nothing. He also made it clear that love is hated. And that's where we left off last week, seeing Jesus telling us over and over and over again, listen, don't be surprised if you live and love like me, if they hate you like they did me. This is a significant issue because so often, so many in the visible church seem absolutely shocked and surprised when warfare breaks out, either directly or indirectly. Guess what? Jesus has made it clear. If they hated me, they are going to hate you. If you live and love like me, they are going to treat you the way they did me. This week, we now press in to the last three verses of chapter 15. And then the first 15 verses of chapter 16. And I tell you this, I am so excited. Please, 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 either take notes, come along with me with your Bible, or go to our website and download the notes that you'll be better equipped. That in this passage, we have arguably the greatest look at the Holy Spirit, the greatest understanding of the comprehensive nature, purpose, and promise, and provision of God's Holy Spirit and all the Bible. And I dare say, most in the church are not aware of that truth. So I ask you today to walk with me. We're going to use the acronym of SPIRIT, S-P-I-R-I-T, to walk through this passage. You and I will see in verse 25 that the S of SPIRIT, to understand why and how and the provision of the Spirit, is to know that the Spirit is here to support and sustain suffering saints. The P of the SPIRIT acronym. You and I are going to see the very purpose of the Holy Spirit's coming. It is to purify and to empower the Great Commission. In the I of SPIRIT, you and I are going to see that the Holy Spirit is here to help inform and inspire us in this infected and insidious world. In the R of SPIRIT, as we continue to walk through the passage, you will see the required refinement that must come through the Spirit if you and I or anybody else on the planet is to have any hope or promise of eternal life. Again, in the I that will follow after the R, you and I will see that it is the Holy Spirit who initiates and illuminates every salvation. There is no salvation outside of the Spirit's invite and ignite of yours or my heart. And we will see as we close out with verses 12 through 15 of chapter 16 that the Spirit comes to tell and teach timeless truth to God's children. Friends, if you're here today, or if you're within the sound of my voice, keep this message close. Tuck this passage from God's Word deep into your heart. Let it forever remind you of the role and the redemptive purposes of God's Holy Spirit. For those of you who are in Christ and have His Spirit in you, this is a reminder. This is a calibration that says, come back to that place where you stand strong on the rock. And for those of you who do not yet know Christ and or are perhaps cloaked in religion, hear the beautiful beckoning call of Jesus the Christ saying, come, 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 under the power and the provision and the promise of my Spirit. Come, I love you this much. I died that my Spirit could come, that you might live and live eternal. Friends, the big idea from today's time together is simply this. Jesus the Christ wants His disciples back then and right now, you and me, to understand the promises, the purpose, and the power of His Holy Spirit. This is the context. He's in those last moments, literally hours before the cross. He knows that His disciples are fearful. They're somewhat scattered in their minds, in their thoughts. Fear is gripping them. And He wants them and you and me to know that there's a promise here. And it's the power of His Spirit that you and I might live in a way that brings glory to Him through His strength, through His Spirit. Let me show you this week's passage. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 25 and going through chapter 16, verse 15. And then we'll walk through this acronym in a way that I pray will fill your spiritual toolbox and refrigerator, that you will lead and feed those around you God's inspirational truth and love as He shares with you.
This, however, was bound to happen, so that what is written in their law may come true. They hated me for no reason at all. The Helper will come, the Spirit who reveals the truth about God and who comes from the Father. I will send Him to you from the Father, and He will speak about me, and you too will speak about me, because you have been with me from the very beginning. I have told you this so that you will not give up your faith. You will be expelled from the synagogues. And the time will come when those who kill you will think that by doing this they are serving God. People will do these things to you because they have not known either the Father or me. But I have told you this so that when the time comes for them to do these things, you will remember what I told you. I did not tell you these things at the beginning, for I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me where I am going. And now that I have told you, your hearts are full of sadness. But I am telling you the truth. It is better for you that I go away. Because if I do not go, the Helper will not come to you. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove to the people of the world that they are wrong about sin and about what is right and about God's judgment. They are wrong about sin because they do not believe in me. They are wrong about what is right because I am going to the Father and you will not see me anymore. And they are wrong about judgment, because the ruler of this world has already been judged. I have much more to tell you, but now it would be too much for you to bear. When, however, the Spirit comes, who reveals the truth about God, he will lead you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak of what he hears and will tell you of things to come. He will give me glory, because he will take what I say and tell it to you. All that my Father has is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take what I give him and tell it to you.
All right, so let's walk together through the passage and this acronym Spirit. In verse 25, note where we begin. Jesus says again, they are going to hate me for no reason. Understand in the S of Spirit that we begin with the Savior's standards. And the Spirit is coming because you and I are going to live in where we discussed last week, a place where love is literally hated. You say, that's a little over the top, Pastor Jeff. Well, your problem is not with my assessment, but the Word of God. This is what Jesus said. And I asked you and I challenged some of you last week, said, are you hated? If not, why not? And the chances for most of us is if we're not hated, it's because we're compromising with the world. And James 4:4 reminded us that if we have a love for the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. So we have to embrace the fact that we're in a conflict. The Savior said the standard is to be hated. Well, the Spirit is coming to support and sustain suffering saints. That when you and I say yes, Lord, to the call in our lives and we live it, and we are hated, and we are persecuted, and it gets hard, the promise is not that somebody down the road is going to talk the other person into going easy on you. They're going to go hard. The promise is that the Spirit of God is in you, that you will be able to persevere in the pressure, that you will be able to stand in the midst of the persecution, that your living witness will tell the world not that you figured out a way around the problem, but that your God took you through the problem. This is here. And I remind you that this is not just an add-on. Jesus says in Luke 9, 23 and 24, you better get ready because you're going to have to pick up your cross and follow me. And if you think that you can save your life by protecting it, you're going to lose it. The only way to save your life is to lose your life in me. This is the call. And for those that would say, how do you do that? The answer is the Holy Spirit of God. This is what Jesus is telling his disciples. He's saying, get ready. Up to this point, I've taken most of the heat. I've been the lightning rod. You've not had to bear the brunt of it. You've seen some of it, but it's about to come to you. They hated me for no reason. They're going to hate you for no reason. In fact, the reason they're going to hate you is because you are in me and you live and you love like me. Get ready. And just so that you don't have a meltdown and fall apart, I'm promising you, my Spirit will be in you and will come alongside. He's confirming the fact that conflict is coming. I say to you, friends, conflict is coming. In your Christ-likeness, conflict is coming. Are you ready? Are you willing to say yes, Lord? If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, don't you say yes, because the enemy will pummel you eternally. Now, I'm not encouraging you to give up. I'm encouraging you to come to Christ, that you would have this promise and this power. Remember this. And again, it's illustrated as Christ is telling you and me this. If you claim Christ, you have been commanded to embrace the Great Commission. Nobody has been given license to sit on some great cushion. You've been called to the Great Commission. You've not been set apart to sit on a great cushion. And it's going to be hard. But praise God, the Spirit is in us that know Jesus as Lord. This is the promise. The P takes us not only to the promise, but to purpose. And I pray that you'll see in verses 26 and 27, and I want to spend some time here, that you'll see that the purpose of the Holy Spirit and His coming is to purify and to empower the Great Commission. If you find yourself one who is at odds with the Great Commission, you are at odds with the Holy Spirit of God. If you find yourself at odds with any aspect of the Great Commission, you find yourself at odds with all aspects of the Trinity of the one true God. You say that's a little much. Let's read John 15, 26 and 27. God's word says, and I want you to listen for the purpose, I want you to listen for the power and the persons of the Great Commission. And think Acts 1:8. God's word, when the advocate comes, when the helper, when the counselor, when the paraclete, the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you, I, Jesus, the Son, will send to you from the Father. So the Spirit is going to be sent from the, by the Son from the Father. See the Trinity of God. See the persons here, not only of the Trinity, but of the Great Commission. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, the Spirit will bear witness about me, Jesus the Christ. And you also must bear witness, for you have been with me from the very beginning. Friends, see here, the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming is to purify and to empower the Great Commission, going and making Christ known. He will come to bear witness of me. You too must bear witness of me. Now, this bear witness, let me give you a little bit of Greek. Bear witness is one word in Greek, martureo, martureo. Now, why is that important? Because that's the verb form of the same root word of witnesses in Acts 1:8. Remember, you will be my witnesses locally, regionally, and to the ends of the earth. Martureo here, that the Holy Spirit and you must bear witness to Christ, must, this is the purpose, is the same root word, it's the verb form, the action form of the noun witnesses, which is in Greek martus. This is the word that you and I get our word martyr from. The Holy Spirit is coming to witness to the point of being a martyr to the goodness and the glory of Jesus the Christ. And you and I must do the same. This is what Jesus is saying. And He's saying that this is the will of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. This is the purpose for the Spirit coming. If you have the Spirit in you, you have been called and created to be a Great Commission Christian. To deny that is to deny not only the gospel, but the God of the gospel. In all three aspects of his personhood. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are right here unified in the purpose and the power and the promise of the Great Commission. Friends, I pray that you see this. I pray this realigns the way that you see your life from here on out. That you and I cannot exist in a cocoon and call ourselves church or Christians. You can't. Well, you can. You just can't do it with the blessing and the truth of God and His Word backing you up. And I tell you, as a missionary pastor, that this is largely lost in the lukewarm church of our day. It's all about us. It's all about getting us what we need, get comfortable, complacent, compromise where we must, but let's call ourselves church and let's just keep going forward in a way that we're comfortable. Well, that works with everybody except the God of the Bible. That's not what he says. Let me read to you a quote from David Platt. I praise God. He's the newly appointed International Mission Board president for our broader faith family, the Southern Baptist Convention. He is the new appointed this week president of the International Mission Board. And let me share with you a blog post that he contributed a few days ago. Scripture gives us a number of ways to know who is truly a follower of Christ. For example, those who repent of their sins, trust in Christ, and surrender to his lordship have the marks of a true disciple. Those are foundational responses to the gospel. But did you know that being a disciple also means that you ought to be making disciples? He says, if you are a follower of Christ, if you are, you weren't made to be a spectator, but rather a disciple maker. God has saved you, Christian, to send you out into your city and into the nations to tell the good news that Jesus has lived the life we could not live, died the life we deserve to die, and conquered the enemy we could not conquer. Every single Christian is on the earth to proclaim Christ. Every single one. No spectators. My words, not Platt, but understand this, that this call to the Great Commission, it's a 100% participation proclamation. The Great Commission, as commanded by Christ, is a 100% proclamation for you, for me, for every Christian, every church. Platt continues, none of us is a super Christian, so we all need to continue to grow in our knowledge and faith as we give our lives to making disciples of Jesus. For far too long, we have assumed that growing in Christ simply means attending Bible studies, going to church services, and living nice, clean lives. If all these things are disconnected from making disciples of Jesus and leading others to become disciples for Jesus, then we are missing the point of what it means to be a disciple in the first place. Followers are fishers. From the very beginning, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 4:19, follow me. From the very beginning, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, end quote. Thus, every follower should be a fisher, not fishing for the men all around our lake, but spreading the gospel all over the world. At the end of Matthew, Jesus tells his disciples, quote, go therefore and make disciples, end quote. And then in Acts 1:8, he tells them that they will receive power from the Holy Spirit, not just so that they can go to Bible studies and worship and be a kind person, but so that they would be witnesses, martyrs, to testify about him to the ends of the earth. God has not saved you to dwell in a Christian bubble. God has saved you to spread the Christian gospel, both in the city where you live and to the ends of the earth. This is what we were created for, what we've been commissioned to do as a church. This is what we're compelled to do as Christians, to be disciples, who make disciples, so that the grace and love of God are spread all across the world through us. End quote. At the end of his article, Platt lists a number of questions. I share two of his with you. How are you making disciples? How are you, Christian? Not our church does this, not I'm a part of that. How are you making disciples? And let me say to you with all the love in my heart, because I have no doubt many would say, well, I'm not. Yes, you are. Every single one of us is making disciples. The only question is, of whom or what are we making disciples? To whom and or what are we making disciples? Well, you got to understand, I mean, I have to live with a certain degree of, concern for, okay, then let's make disciples of concern. Well, you know, I know you call it compromise, and I know it's not exactly what the Bible says, but you don't seem to understand, okay, well, let's make disciples of compromise. Well, I know that there's this sense of sold out, all in, cross-carrying, truth-telling, but, you know, that's just not realistic in my world. Okay, well, let's make disciples of Bible rationalizing. Or we can just say, yes, Lord. Pick up our cross and follow him. We could show the world Christ in us. We could make disciples of the God of the Bible who died on the cross to give you and me the privilege to do so. It'll come at a cost. He's worth it. And if he isn't worth it to you, then I don't think he saved you. And maybe you've never heard that before. You need to hear it. If you don't think he's worth it, then you probably didn't get from him what you think you did. Because when you understand that the only reason you're forgiven is because he was forsaken, and that you were the Adolf Hitler in comparison to him, the pure, righteous, holy, spotless king, and he voluntarily took your spot. If you don't get that, I don't think you have him. And if you don't have him, I call you to him. I call you to him. Come surrender. Come. That's why he died, that you would have the opportunity to come. Not to rationalize him away, not to compromise him away, not to build some God of your own understanding or become a part of some religious social club, but that you could be his witness. Even to the cost of perhaps being a martyr. But praise God for the opportunity to be a martyr for the Messiah. If that is your mission, embrace it. I pray. See the power of the Great Commission here. Again, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. It's the same thing. Jesus, right before the cross, is now speaking this truth to the intimate disciples. The last words recorded in the Bible as Jesus ascends up to heaven, you will receive power, dunamis. You will receive this Spirit power so that you can be my witnesses. It's our purpose. It's our reason for being. And not just ours, it's the reason why the Holy Spirit is here. If you have him, it's for this express purpose, none other. You say, well, I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Yeah, that's part of the Great Commission. Well, I'm supposed to minister in my Jerusalem. Yeah, that's part of the Great Commission. Well, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be the one that goes to the mud hut in Africa. That's okay, you pray. It's 100% participation. It doesn't mean that every one of us is the one that physically goes. It means that every one of us is truly, totally, spiritually engaged. Surrendered. Totally. And that means that our lives are a blank check. That means if he wants to realign your finances, your priorities, your vocation, your location, anything and everything, it's yes, Lord. That's what it is to be fully engaged. That's why the Spirit has come. Because you say, well, I don't think I could do that. Oh, good. You're right. You wouldn't have a chance. Neither would I. I wouldn't be in Kent Island, Maryland, and of my own. I have no business coming here, ever. But the Holy Spirit of God directed our family and said, here, now. And we said, yes, Lord. And I wanted to go to China. You know what we could do there, Lord? He said, it's not about what you can do, what I'm calling you to be. This is what it is to be filled with the Spirit, to understand why he is here. See not only the power of the Great Commission here in the Spirit. I pray you see the persons of the Great Commission here. The Spirit is going to minister to the world. The Father is going to send the Spirit. The Son is the focus of the Spirit's ministry. And the Christians are the people through whom he will minister. I call it the quad of God. Friends, you and I, we're not a part of the Trinity per se, but we are a part of the quad of God. God the Spirit empowers the Great Commission. God the Father sends the Spirit for the Great Commission. God the Son is the focus of, we will bring glory to him in the Great Commission. And the Christians, the church, the true people of God, we are the instruments through which this will take place. See that it's not about those extreme Christians. The Great Commission is not about those people that are willing to go to Africa. The Great Commission is about Jesus the Christ. It's about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, through we, his people. To deny this is to deny the very gospel itself. This is the good news. This is the purposes of God. This is the power and the priority of God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Please don't ever find yourselves cocooning or becoming self-reliant or just internally driven. You are to miss the very purposes of the Spirit of God. In verse 27, we see that he provides and proclaims this relationship between the sender, the Father, the Savior, the Son, the Spirit, the power, and the saints, the vehicle through which all will take place. Friends, my question to you is simply this. Knowing this truth, is God at work in you and through you? You see, he's showing us here, he's not only at work in and through his church, he's at work all around. So on a personal level, is he at work in you and through you? How are you making disciples? How are you reprioritizing your life to be an instrument of the fulfilling of the Great Commission? What, if anything, is the Holy Spirit doing in you right now? I ask you lovingly, and I ask you confrontationally, what is the Holy Spirit doing in you and through you right now? You say, well, I'm on a little hiatus. You won't find that in here. Well, you know, I've learned a lot of Greek over the years. You won't find that in here. The question is, the Great Commission is all about going and making disciples and being a witness of Jesus the Christ to those locally, regionally, and to the ends of the earth. And it's a personal application, which is why I ask the question to you personally. What are you involved in that is actively making disciples of Jesus the Christ and fulfilling the Great Commission? His Spirit in you is not there as some kind of fire extinguisher or big brother in case a bully shows up. The Spirit of God is in you, if in fact he is, to empower you to fulfill the Great Commission, you and me both, to be his witnesses in our Jerusalem, our Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to be actively engaged. Are you? Are you in this mission? Is he alive and at work in you? Last couple of weeks, we saw that the question then goes, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Because we've been saved to bring glory to God by producing more fruit through his Spirit. Are you producing more fruit? And I have to say at this point, be careful that you not confuse your ministry with your call to be the church and fulfill the Great Commission. You see, nobody's ever been saved by a ministry. Saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I fear that oftentimes what should be a keyhole, a ministry should be a keyhole through which people look and see Christ. Oftentimes what happens is Christ and Christianity, or more likely church attendance, becomes the keyhole through which people see a person and their preferences. It becomes a focus on the individual. And when ministry becomes what should be the church, and church becomes nothing but a means, there's a problem. You see, for the Great Commission biblical Christian, ministry is a means, but our Messiah is the end. And I ask you to just think about this personally and in the context of your experiences. I have no doubt that every one of us have seen well-intended ministries that are no longer about Christ. And when a ministry overtakes the gospel and the role of Christ, it's no longer good. Hear me. Because that doesn't sell well. And it's the truth. When the ministry overtakes the gospel and it becomes about the doing and not the being of the Messiah, it's no longer good. Because not only does it take people away from the only hope they have, which is Jesus the Christ, and puts their hope in the things that the ministry provides, it tends to duplicate and replicate itself, because those that are helped become advocates of it and reproduce it. And now you have more who are feeling good and looking good and leading people away from Christ. Don't let your ministry take the place of your being the church. I pray. You see, the I in our spirit acronym that the Holy Spirit has come to inform and to inspire. Verses 1 through 4 of chapter 16. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. I'm informing you up front so that you don't fall away. When this happens, you were told in advance. Forewarned is forearmed. I'm informing you. You see, they will put you out of the synagogues. They're going to put you out of church because you're being church. They're literally going to put you out of church because you're the ones committed to being the church. The hour is coming when whoever kills you will think that he's offering service to God. They're not just going to put you out. They're going to kill you in the name of God. In some cases, it's Christians being killed by professing Christians. In other places, it's those children of God being killed in the name of what is in reality a false god. You and I see it today all over the news. There's a radical Muslim movement that is telling the world that they serve the one true God, and part of that is that they're going to kill everybody who disagrees with them, especially the Christians. Friends, the Bible is coming alive through the headlines of your news. Please understand where we are on the clock of redemption time. You and I have no promise of a long-term perspective. Now, I don't tell you that Jesus is coming today, but I'm ready for him, and I pray you are too. Don't take the future for granted. He goes on and he says, not only will they kill you in the name of God, they will do these things because they have not known the Father. They are ignorant spiritually of me. Don't act surprised when lost people act like lost people. And if you understand what lostness is, you understand that there's no bottom to that pit. There's no ultimate blackness to the darkness of lostness. When you and I understand that the children of the devil are who we're talking about here, no, yeah, you can't call people that. Yeah, I wouldn't. But God's word does. And he does it, as we see here, evidence to get us ready, to be prepared, to be a truth teller that says, listen, this is the real deal. I know it doesn't sell well. I know it doesn't get you invited to cookouts. But listen, this is what God says. And if you're not ready for it, you're going to be absolutely lambasted, if not taken down with them. They will do these things because they have not known the Father or me, but I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, when this happens and you see it, that you will remember that I told you about them. Friends, this is the inspiration. Even when the worst of the worst happens, you can see this being an exclamation mark of the truthfulness and trustworthiness of God and His Word. He says, when it happens, remember that I told you it would happen. Trust in me, I'll empower you through it. But stand and show the world what happens when you love and trust me, and I'll take you through. See the Spirit's input here. I mean, we're being foretold. He's intentionally informing us to prevent us from falling away. He's telling us about an irreverent injustice. He says, you will be put out of the church for being the church. He's showing us an injurious list of imposters. He says, yeah, in the name of God, they're going to kill the children of God. Oh, what an infection this world has. He says there's an ignorant indignation here. Ultimately, why is this happening? Because of sin. And why is sin prevalent in their lives? Because they don't know me. And some of them, oh yeah, they've been around me. Remember Judas? Here again, it's another example of the contrast. Being around Jesus is not the same as being in Jesus. And he wants us to be inspired individually. He says, listen, you've been forewarned that you may be forearmed. When the worst comes, remember the best. When the worst comes, remember the best. The R in Spirit required refining. He wants you and me to see in verses 4 through 7 a remarkable realization. And I just want to read it to you and give you a couple of thoughts. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? You may miss this, by the way. That's a rebuke. He's saying, I'm telling you, I'm about to go. I'm about to die, and nobody's concerned about me. Nobody's asking me, where are you going? Y'all seem filled with gloom and doom. He says, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. See again the grace and the mercy of God. Literally, Jesus on his way to the cross. They're not concerned about him. They're worried about themselves. And he shows up mercifully again. Nevertheless, right? Remember, a couple of chapters ago, Philip, you knucklehead. Peter, you knucklehead. Thomas, you knucklehead. Jeff. Right? We've all heard it. Where God's looked at us and said, again, listen to verse 7. It's the heart of Jesus. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the paraclete, will not come to you. But if I go away, I send him to you. Do you hear this? They're stumbling again, and Jesus says, listen, I'm doing what is best for you. And here's my question. And this one isn't challenging. It's really, I think, just contemplative. Have you ever thought about this? Here's the option. One is perhaps a wish list, and the other is yours and my reality if you are a biblical Christian. Wish list. I would have loved to had 3 years with Jesus. I mean, could you imagine literally walking, talking, living, breathing, watching him do the miracles, sometimes being used by him to do the miracles? That would be awesome. So I say to you, would you rather have 3 years literally living, walking, talking, serving, seeing, and being used by God in the miracles of Jesus the Christ? Or would you rather be you right here, right now? Jesus said it's better for you and me to be us here now. That'll blow your mind until you realize why the Holy Spirit is here, and that the Holy Spirit is here, and that the Holy Spirit is not just here, but here in every biblical Christian. Friends, 2 Peter 1:3, you have received everything you need for life and godliness if you are a Christian. not because there's been some master checklist, but because the Holy Spirit of God lives in you and me. This is the promise. Now, if you know that, believe that, value that, and you now understand that that reality is for the express purpose of empowering and impurifying the Great Commission in you and through you, I ask you, what value does disciple making to the ends of the earth serve in your life now? If you understand that it's better for you to be a Christian today with the Holy Spirit in you than to have lived and walked with Jesus for 3 years, and you understand and believe from verse 26 that the purpose of this Spirit in you is to empower and purify the Great Commission through you, which is you and me making disciples who make disciples who make disciples locally, regionally, into the ends of the earth, I ask you, what value does that have to you? What priority does that now have in your life? What fruit will you faithfully produce in Christ through this recalibration? Now, you and I can't do any of this on our own, and we see this through the illuminating and through what is the initiating of the Spirit's role. This is in verses 8 through 11, God's word. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Please see the unique role of the Holy Spirit here. Up to this point, I have shared with you benefits and pragmatics. Here you see a theological purposes and the unique role that the Holy Spirit serves. Only the Holy Spirit can convict a heart of sin. Only the Holy Spirit can convict a heart of sin unto salvation, unto utter surrender. That's why you and I, we can't tell people, well, you know what you need to do is boom, 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 and treat that like it's a checklist to heaven. You can't do it. You and I have to tell people what I use is the three M's, the miracle, the Messiah, and the mission. You have to say, listen, you need a miracle. You need the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do. Well, what am I supposed to do? You cry out to him until he does. And when he does, he will bring you to himself in the Messiah at the cross, where you there will surrender your life and be miraculously changed by grace, which will then recalibrate your life to live on mission. This is what we see. Jesus is telling them, listen, only my Spirit, when he comes, will be able to convict a heart unto sin, where they will know that they need and want to repent. It's only my Spirit that will convict them to the point of needing and recognizing my righteousness, that they can never be good enough on their own. There's no amount of changed behavior that can affect the belief of the heart. Only I can show that it is Christ's righteousness alone imparted to us through the blood of the cross that can bring somebody home to heaven. He said, it's the only way it can happen. And thirdly, it's only my Spirit that can convict of judgment, that can show the world, listen, the devil is already done. The war is over. The battles rage on, but you can't win. You cannot win this. There is no hope without me. Only the Spirit can bring that conviction home. This again is why we must pray for the miracle, the miraculous work of saving grace to happen in and through the lives of those we love. You hold up, you champion, you embrace, you model, and you share the truth. That's the Great Commission. You go and tell the story of Jesus. Sheep brag about their shepherd, Jesus. And you tell it in truth and love, but you can't make it happen. I can't make it happen. This is so that we'll understand our place. The power is in the Spirit. The people are the mechanisms through which the ministry will take place. That's our part. I want to leave you with a song. Two, actually. One here. The song is entitled Start a Fire in Me, and I pray these words will touch your heart because it's this passage, John 16, 8 through 11, that I think that this song does wonderfully in just under 3 minutes of bringing home. And I pray it will help illuminate and illustrate the truth of this passage in a personal way. I pray that you will hear the Spirit invite and ignite a fire in you.
This world can be cold and bitter. It feels like we're in the dead of winter, waiting on something better. But am I really gonna hide forever? Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. Let your light shine, let your light shine for all to see. And start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow. So
I pray that that verse, and maybe that song, brings that verse alive and puts it into your thought process through the week. But understand this, that you and I, we cannot ignite. We may be sent to invite, but we can't ignite what only the Spirit of God can do with convicting hearts. But this too, the Spirit does and works through us. He tells and teaches timeless truths. In the closing of the passage, verses 12 through 15, I won't read it all, but in part, what you see is the Spirit of God. This is Jesus speaking. He says, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. Now, this is in part specifically speaking to those that would be used under the inspiration of the Spirit to write the Bible, write the New Testament as we know it. But don't miss this. In the same way that the Spirit would inspire those to write Scripture, He inspires us to take in those scriptures. Same Spirit, same priority, same purposes. He says in verse 14, He, the Spirit, will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. Verse 15, He will take what is mine and declare it to you. I've shared with you before, repetition means emphasis. Jesus is saying, my Spirit is coming to empower and purify the Great Commission in and through you. It will be through my word, shared through my people, for my purposes, with my promises, in the Spirit's power. We will share information, we'll declare revelation, and we will be deployed for this purpose through the power of the Spirit. So I take you back to where we began. in verses 26 and 27, we're told that the Holy Spirit is coming. I've entitled our message this morning, Understanding the Coming Spirit. Recognize that Jesus took this time, this cherished time right before the cross, to make sure that his disciples, then and now, would understand the coming Spirit, the coming Holy Spirit of God. Friend, he wants you and me to know that the Spirit is here to support and sustain you as a saint if and when you suffer. He wants you and me to know that the Spirit has come to purify and empower you as his witness in fulfilling the Great Commission. The Spirit has come to inform and inspire you when the counterfeits and the killers show up, and they will. He's come to remind you and me that the required refining of the presence of his Spirit is coming, that it's better for you and me to live now with his Spirit than to have walked with him for 3 years in the flesh. The Spirit is here now to invite and ignite a fire in you and me. Not a self-centered fire, but a Great Commission, Spirit-empowered commitment to our Christ and King that we would share locally, regionally, and to the ends of the earth. And the Spirit has come to tell and teach timeless truths to you and me, not to get our heads big, but that he would inform us and grow us that we could go and show the world this truth and this love. My prayer is that you will see and know forevermore this amazing love. We sang of it this morning. This amazing love. And that you would recognize if, in fact, you have the Spirit of God in you, it is for the purpose of bringing glory to God through being the church that is Great Commission driven in our understanding and our commitment to be disciples, that we would share the love. I'll leave you with one last song and then we pray.
I've never seen a hurt get healed in a protest, but I've seen sinners turn to saints because of grace. It's love that lights the way, love that lights the way. Let it be a love, yeah. Let it be love, let it be love, yeah. It's love.
Friends, you and I have been filled with the Holy Spirit if and only if we have been captured by grace and are biblically saved. And for every one of us that have been filled with the Spirit of God, it has been to be His witness. We have been empowered to fulfill the Great Commission. The bearing witness, the being witness, is literally the root word from which we get martyr. To lay down our lives to live for our King. Let that love lead the way, I pray. Father, we come to you this morning and I thank you so much for the truth and the love of your word. I thank you, Lord, that we can see that your Spirit will support and sustain the suffering saints, that you want to purify and empower your Great Commission in and through us, that you will inform and inspire us when the killers and the counterfeits come, that you would literally refine us by doing what is best and giving us your Spirit, even when we might otherwise want you or something else. You would give us what is best and not just what we want. That you will invite and ignite through the inspiration of your Spirit those that you have called to yourselves. To you, Lord, that you would empower us to be your ambassadors, and that through your Spirit we would be able to be the instruments that would tell and teach the timeless truths of your gospel love. Lord, I pray that we will be that people upon which one day your blessing will rest, and the ears of those that are here would hear you say, "Well done, faithful servant." And those, Lord, who today, whose path would not lead right now to such a hearing, I pray that you reach down and grab their heart, that you ignite that fire, that they would know the victory of surrender, all in to you, for you, in appreciation for your amazing grace and love. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.